Oh, I like this. I like this, Tom Carnduff.
It's good, isn't it?
Hello and welcome to a special American election themed The 72. It's not that American themed at all, really, apart from one thing, which we'll get to in a moment. Just turn that bit up a little bit. I'll turn it down a bit too much there. Good evening. You're listening to The 72. As always, we shall take you... we'll have a good look back at the last few days across the Football League and look back at all the weekend's action. As we do every single week, we've got Yorkshire news, we've got news from the Football League, where another side in the Championship is looking for a new manager after QPR sacked Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Paul Lambert's taken over at Wolves. We'll look at that. The Checkatread Trophy is back. Woo!
Can you sense the excitement around the country?
Well, we are going to be speaking to someone at... Well, I think we've spoke every single week. We've spoken to someone at one of these games and done an attendance count. We shall check in with Liam Williams. He's at Doncaster against Port Vale tonight. How many fans will turn up on a cold Tuesday night? The weather has turned. Will that affect the attendance in the Checkatrain
Trophy?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, well.
Ooh, we shall find out. We've got good days, bad days as well. And Tom... Tell us why we're playing this little bit of music.
Well, if you don't know, something quite important happened in America today. In the United States, it's, of course, a presidential election. And to be honest, if it's down to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, then why can't a Football League personality become president? And who would be the best shout for it? It's an idea I had earlier on. I've got my person. I think you've got yours as well.
I do,
so want to get people involved and think who they think should be president from across the Football League.
I think we should have an official Twitter poll between my candidate and your candidate.
Yes.
See who the people out there.
It's going up. It's what the people
would
want.
Vote to be their Football League American president. I think my man's going to win it.
Nah, my man is far too popular to not to win. So there we are. It's a good thing to have in an election, actually, popularity.
So we're getting to the end of the bed now.
Oh, run out.
What happened then?
I don't know.
It was supposed to roll into... Oh, we've had a nightmare start to the show.
It can only get better. It can only go uphill, at least, on the positive side.
Not if you're America. Definitely
political based banter.
Political banter there to start the show. Right, should we tell people now who our candidates are? Should we do the big pitch?
I think we should, because if we put a Twitter poll up and then don't tell them
that's a good point.
It would be a weird election. Go on, I'll let you go first.
Blind elections could be the future. Forget all the different voting systems.
You have to roll the dice.
You get
number four, so I'm voting for number four. There we go.
Go on then. Who is in your corner?
Shall I pitch first? I will. I thought of who can we put forward that such a personality is someone who everyone loves, face it, who would do a good job. And frankly, if Trump and Clinton are the two main choices, then why can't he be? And that is Ipswich Town manager Mick McCarthy. Everyone loves a good bit of Mick.
Surprise, surprise.
Straight talking, no nonsense. Gets to the point. Everyone respects him. Mick McCarthy would do a job. And I know for a fact would do a better job than the candidate you're going to suggest.
I can't believe you'd go for McCarthy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you go for McCarthy? Why not? It's a popular figure.
What else has he got, apart from being straight-talking Mick? What else? What's he going to do? How's he going to solve the economy?
Saved Ipswich from relegation when he took over.
McCarthy care.
There we go.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. What would his campaign...
His campaign slogan?
What would his campaign song be? It's got to be, isn't it?
It's got to be. Just that playing in the background of all these... Because it's weird in America how they have these big, when they do their rallies. Here, it's just kind of... there, it's full on go for it. Imagine this playing in the background. It's a win-win.
Enough of that. So you've got Mick McCarthy. Predictable as ever from you, Tom Carnduff. I've thought of a couple of candidates for this, but I stuck to a manager in the end. I was going to go for... an actual El Presidente. I changed my mind at the last minute. And went for... He's a hero to many. He is straight talking. He's more than straight talking, though, Tom. He's passionate.
Don't believe
he has a will to win, a will to be number one. He's got a rags to riches story. He's many people's idea of the American dream. He's not American, though. It's Mr. Steve Evans. Come on, he's got to be
no,
Steve Evans.
No, no, not having it.
We said straight talking.
Not having it.
Always straight to the point with Steve. He'll ruffle some feathers. That's what the Americans are looking for in this this election. He's got a great public image. He's changed. He's lost a lot of weight, so he's ready for the campaign.
What?
I'm scratching the barrel, but
yeah,
he's a Steve Evans is a proper American president.
No. He's not. I'm not having this.
He's a figurehead.
If Mick McCarthy's not good enough for president of the United States, then Steve Evans is nowhere near that level of doing it. If McCarthy can't, that's a weird slogan.
Put Donald Trump's hair on Steve Evans' head, and there you have a president, my friend. And if you want to see that picture, you can go and see it online. Radio Yorkshire, Twitter, Radio_Yorkshire. We're gonna tweet that out. We've got Mick McCarthy as Hillary on there as well, which looks good.
Looks
him,
good.
Looks
yeah, good it suits him, doesn't it? Suits him.
You can head to at Radio_Yorkshire right now and have your vote. We'll give you the results at the end of tonight's show. Do you vote for Mick McCarthy as the Football League American president, or is it Mr. Steve Evans, the man surely you have to vote for? I'm going to get on there right now. And
he's rigging the election already.
Come on,
rigging
Steve.
The election.
Come on, Steve. Right. Let's kick off then with the Yorkshire news. Let's get back to some serious football. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah, there's been actual football this week.
The man that has replaced Steve Evans at Leeds United, that is our main talking point. Because Leeds United, oh, my God, they're into six.
Sick
heights, Tom.
Heading heights. The first time Leeds have been in the top six since December 2013.
Wow.
What a way to do it as well, to go away. Mm. Norwich, promotion favourites, very good side. And to beat Norwich twice in the space of, 2 weeks is obviously very good. And to win it in the way they did as well, with the youngster Ronaldo Vieira score, an absolute belter of a winner. And it just doesn't seem to get any better than that.
No, are you starting to believe now as a Leeds United fan? Because it's obviously it's a rocky road being a Leeds fan. Yeah. We all know that. There's been many false dawns, but if I said a few weeks ago, it seemed like that the team was coming together nicely. Gary Monk, all the areas of the past that were maybe Leeds had a soft underbelly, or they didn't have enough, or maybe there wasn't enough legs or enough passion. There seems to be a lot of boxes.
Yeah,
being
it seems
ticked.
To be a lot. Yeah, of course you don't want to get too carried away because we're only 8th for November. But at the end of the day, it's a good position to be in. It's much better than being in I think we were 16th, 17th this time last year. So really struggling playing with kind of relegation places, and to be up the other end of the league and to finally break that top six. I think that's when the belief starts to come in, when you can actually get into that top six. I know there's a long way to go, and it is. Quite important that you don't get too carried away, but you've got to enjoy it while you can. And the fact that Leeds can go away and beat teams like Norwich, who are considered promotion favourites, is a good sign. I think we'll have a good indication on the next game after the international break, when Newcastle come into Elland Road, of course, sell-out crowd for that one. I think that'll be a real indication if Leeds are genuinely up for promotion this year, if they can match Newcastle, who, of course, you know, we're going to speak about them a little later, but they're in the position they are. They're kind of seemingly kind of running away from Huddersfield in third already. So if Leeds can get something out of that, I think that will genuinely kind of make them potential promotion candidates.
Yeah, a lot of people, obviously, time not to get carried away, but a lot of people have said Leeds may fall away because the squad may be not strong enough. But if you look at Leeds United squad, some of the players that aren't involved right now, the likes of Berardi, who's been very good over the last couple of years, the skipper's been out injured, Bridcut, who was kind of the glue that was bringing everything together earlier in the season. There are other players out there as well who've done a job in the past, the likes of Luke Murphy and all those kind of players, Dakara comes in and out and makes an impact generally when he comes into the team. Antonsen still on the fringes. There's quite a lot of players around this Leeds United squad still.
Oh yeah, much better than it has been in kind of the past couple of seasons when you look at, you know, you mentioned the names there, especially Bridcut, when all summer Leeds fans were crying out for Bridcut to come. He was really kind of the saviour, and in the day he's not played that many games this season. Leeds have, you know, don't seem to be missing him much at the moment. But the depth does come into it, and it is a bit worrying when you compare them to the likes of Newcastle, like your Norwich's, Sheffield Wednesday as well, when we stick to Yorkshire clubs. I know they're not doing the best at the moment, but they've got a massive squad which helped them get to the playoff final last year. So Leeds just want to, of course, be hopeful that they don't kind of hit that injury problem that a lot of teams get around this time of year, and just kind of keep focused, try and keep fit, and of course got a January transfer window as well that they can come in and strengthen. But the players that they have got in that starting 11 and kind of on the bench shown they're good enough to do it. And Pontus Janssen, I think, said today that he thinks Leeds are good enough for the Premier League, and at the moment they're showing it.
Yes, certainly in fine form at the moment. Is that the worry? The likes of Janssen, Bartley are on loan. Yeah, himself is on a rolling contract.
Hernandez is only here till January, I think, as well, on loan. So it is a big worry. And I think kind of in January, I think the priority's got to be to tie them up, because I think Janssen's reportedly gathering interest from Watford in the Premier League, but he seems quite happy. Bartley, of course, on loan. Hernandez on loan. They're three key players. I think you need to wrap them up. Think long term, of course, because if Leeds lose Bartley, Janssen, Hernandez as well, that's where trouble strikes, especially at the back where Leeds kind of have no centre-backs pretty much. But yeah, I think that's got to be the priority as soon as that January window opens. Even beforehand, just getting the agreements in place for when the transfer window comes in, it can be done, because they will be big misses. I think instead of looking to recruit elsewhere, they should look to kind of recruit within and make those loan players permanent.
Yeah, we shall see on that. Let's hear from Gary Monk now. Here is the Leeds United manager after that win against Norwich at the weekend.
Yes, well, that's a great goal to win any game, but I do think that we deserve the 3 points today. I think our performance overall, of course in Championship there's going to be ups and downs within a game, but for long periods of that game, I felt that we were the better team and we looked really dangerous. We were excellent offensively. We had to dig in and defend like you expect here, but I think overall we deserve the 3 points.
Disappointing to go behind, I guess, because you had some good chances at the start, didn't you?
Yeah, that first 20 minutes I would say is one of the best first 20 minutes I've had since I've come to the club. I thought we looked so dangerous. We were playing very good football, we looked sharp, we were defending very well, and we should have taken one or two of those chances. Then we concede what's a poor goal from our point of view. So I said to the players at half time, is that first 20 minutes is the standard. If we can put more of that into the second half, there's a result to be had. And I think we come out second half and we try to do that. Of course, there's the flow of games are never easy in the Championship. You can't totally dominate a whole game, but for large periods of that game, we were the better team. And we got the rewards today for a really good performance at a very difficult place to come. Everyone will say about the last week for Norwich and how difficult it is, but I've been here many times and every time it's been a very difficult situation. So for my young team to come through that and show the character that they did to the very end and get that result, they thoroughly deserved it.
You talk about character quite a lot, but having gone behind, it would have been easy, wouldn't it, to cave in, but your side never shows signs of doing that at the minute.
No, we have, well, a kind of rule that we have is that we must fight for the whole game up to the very end, no matter what the result is. It's our responsibility to do that, and not just for our fans but for each other, and you can see it, and in this young group they're doing it, you know, and it's pleasing to see. And I said all along, you know, there's going to be ups and downs with this group because they're so young, but if we continue to fight in this way, play this football that we're playing, we can be successful. But at the end of the day, it's 3 points. That's the most pleasing bit for us.
It just put you in the top six tonight.
Yeah. Look, that's for our fans to enjoy, everyone connected with the club to enjoy, but we really do. You can see with the guys in the change room and staff that we have, is that we focus on each game. We give our maximum in each game, and sometimes it'll be good enough, sometimes it won't, but there's no prizes for where we are right now. But it's great, obviously great, to be in and amongst it and fighting for that. It shows that our performances and our football's going in the right way, and that's the most important bit for me. So we're focused again. We have an international break now, but we'll be focused for that next 3 points.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. The Leeds United manager Gary Monk there speaking after that win against Norwich at the weekend. Sheffield Wednesday, Tom, well, still very inconsistent at the moment. Another defeat at the weekend against your hero, Mick McCarthy's Ipswich Town, doing a job on Sheffield Wednesday. What do you make of Wednesday, first of all, and just their stuttering at times this season?
Well, I was at the game Saturday watching them, and it just looked below par. They didn't look up to the challenge whatsoever. Ipswich, more impressive out of the two sides, especially when you put Tom Lawrence's goal. That's a good focusing point. Brilliant goal, but just all round as a team, they look much better. They really matched Wednesday for a lot of the time. And you can see the frustration was kind of showing in the team. Carvajal was on the sideline trying to keep, obviously, the encouragement going, because it was a 1-1 draw for most of that game, or most of the second half anyway. But when you could see the crowd were getting frustrated. Of course, the expectations are kind of higher at Wednesday now after that playoff final last year. They know they've got the squad to do it. They've not really changed much. They do still have the core of the players that got them there last year. That frustration was really on show when they came up against an Ipswich team who did match them, played very well, and of course got the 3 points in the end. I wouldn't say it's worrying for Wednesday, but you know, they've got to look and think, well, we're not probably as high as we want to be. Of course they're up there, I'm not saying the relegation zone, but there's still plenty of improvement, but I don't think it's kind of time to panic for them, really.
There still seems to be some kind of hangover. You can't really quite put your finger on it. Obviously, Forestieri at the start of the season, who was such a pivotal player last season, seemed like he desperately wanted to leave the club. And there still seems to be a problem with him. He's in and out of the team. He's playing out of position at times. Doesn't quite look at it the same. But then generally there just seems to be some kind of hangover, whether that's to do with the run they were on and then to lose it and have heartbreak in the playoffs. So whether that's still affecting the team a little bit mentally, it just doesn't seem the same Sheffield Wednesday that everyone enjoyed last season.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you used the word enjoyed, because they were an enjoyable team to watch. They played entertaining football and they got the results out of it as well, of course, getting to the playoff finals. This year, it just doesn't seem to... It just doesn't seem to be there, because they showed it on that opening day against Aston Villa. They got that result, good win. But kind of since then, it's just been... Like you said, you can't really put your finger on what the problem is, but there's a problem there. And you can't kind of work out why they're not getting the results. You said about the Forestieri kind of incident at the start of the season where he nearly left, he didn't. And that showed, you know, that they were serious in keeping their best players and trying to, of course, you presume the aim is to get to the playoff final or automatic promotion this year. But, and then, you know, going back to Saturday, they just didn't look that same team that they were last season when they were convincingly winning games, beating opponents, especially at home at Hillsborough, a loud Hillsborough Sheffield Wednesday crowd, and they couldn't really live up to it. It's almost like kind of the pressure is there and it's getting to them.
Yeah, there seems to be some kind of expectation now. Maybe obviously there wasn't last season. Yeah. It was almost a surprise season. It was a 3-year plan for the new owners, and they almost did it in one season, and everything. Maybe that's catching up with them a little bit, that it was so rushed, and maybe they brought in players they didn't expect to in January and then in the summer. But yeah, it does seem like maybe last season they were a lot faster attacking. Now they seem to, when you look at the stats, and certainly the Derby game, which we talked about, where they didn't finish them off, and then at the weekend, they have a lot of possession now, a lot more than the opposition, whereas maybe last season it was a bit more counter-attack. They were charging forward and everyone was flying.
I think it's the kind of expectation, the fan expectation as well now, whereas last season, new owner, new head coach, new players. Of course, we knew the quality they had, but nobody really could put your finger on where they'd exactly finish. So to, you know, not just the league, but that cup win over Arsenal as well, their kind of cup form that they had was good. They were showing good displays, playing good football. And yet it comes to kind of this season, and it's almost like that expectation is now upped. So they're thinking, oh, well, we're a promotion. We have to be a promotion winning side this year, whereas that attitude wasn't there last year, and I think that helped them out massively. Of course, it's disappointing to see kind of from an outside perspective because they were such an enjoyable team to watch last year. But, you know, like I was saying with Leeds earlier, it's still early into the season. There's still plenty of time to turn it around. And it's not really a crisis at the end of the day. They're still within touching distance of where they want to be. So still plenty of time for them to turn it around. And to be honest, with the quality and the squad they've got, you'd expect them to do that.
Yeah, you would indeed. It looked like they were turning the corner, but defeat at the weekend to Ipswich Town. Let's hear from the man himself, Carlos Carvajal, the Sheffield Wednesday boss.
It's nice to be with Carlos Carvajal. Carlos, your assessment on your team's performance today in that defeat?
Yeah, we didn't play our level. I hope that can be an exception in the run that we are doing so far, because we really were playing, performing very well. But today was a bad day to us. We didn't. We play against a consistent team, very compact, very solid. We expect this before the game, but we don't discover the way to open the opponent team, and we must play more aggressive, more dynamic, and to achieve the 3 points. Even I think that at the end we don't deserve to lose the game, but we don't deserve to win also the game, but. Ipswich was compact. They play very well in the defense. They were solid, and of course with the time, especially they wait from the time. So when we press a little more in the second half, we create chances. But we don't achieve a goal. They stay compact, and after with a plenty of space to the counter attacks, because we take risks, they score.
Are you disappointed with the goals you conceded? Because both maybe were avoidable. There were maybe tackles or players maybe should have done a little bit better.
Yeah, of course, all the time we can do better. So we lose the ball and it was in the fast attack in the first goal, and in the second goal was after a fault, not necessarily a fault because we was two defenders against one attacker, and we did a bad fault in that moment, and in the fault. Is that games that we want too much win that you don't believe that the opponent in 1 second can score a goal, and we lose the concentration and they score the second.
In terms of you worked hard as well when they went ahead, you worked hard and you were very quickly level with Gary's goal, weren't you?
Sorry?
You were very quickly level after you conceded the first goal, so Gary Hooper was very quick to get you back level.
Yeah, it's something that we achieved, the goal, but... In second half, we start well with a very good dynamic, but to win this game, we must do much more, run more, because I talked to the players that before the game that to win this game, we must run a lot and fight a lot and play our football. I think we try to play, we must run more and we must fight more, because we didn't do this today.
It's not like a Sheffield Wednesday performance, because even when you lose, like last week at Derby, you played very, very well despite the result. This is... very, very not like Sheffield Wednesday, is it?
Yeah, it's why I'm very upset comparing with last week, for example, no? Because we don't play with our identity. We was a shadow of our team, and you know, this competition, we have the same points like last season so far. But of course, we want more. We want more, and we must do better and better. But another teams that have a big responsibility, they lose points in the last games. Today also again, and this competition is very hard, and we still running. We are not far away from the first positions, and we must continue and check at what we missed today and correct the things and be focused and. Try to do a strong reaction in the next game.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
There he is, Carlos Carvajal, promising a strong reaction. But actually, just quickly, Tom, looking at Sheffield Wednesday's next few games, Fulham have turned it round. They go to Craven Cottage next. Then they have another away game at Wolves. Obviously newly under Paul Lambert, he'll be a couple of games in by then. Hopefully you would expect to see his side having a reaction. And then they host Preston, and then they go to Reading. That's a little tough run of games there with three very tricky away games.
Especially Preston, they've, you know, of course there was the couple of games against Newcastle, but you can't look too much into them. They've got some decent results so far this season, so that's going to be a tough one. You mentioned Fulham, of course, turning it around, and Wolves, new manager, you know what that means. It usually means an upturn in form. So, yeah, like you said, very difficult little run-in they've got.
We shall see. Fortune's favouring very differently at Sheffield United. We'll touch on them in a second and hear from Chris Wilder too. But Bradford, though, they are out of the FA Cup, losing for the second time this season in the Cup to Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley, indeed, yeah. It's a bit disappointing for them, considering in recent years, kind of the Cup run they've had. You know, we all know about the League Cup, etc. They did it at the FA Cup, as I'm sure Danny Parkinson has mentioned once or twice, that game against Chelsea. So it's a bit disappointing for them to go out early doors. I know how well they're doing in the league, but, you know, there's no real harm in having a cup tie, or a cup run, I should say, going hand in hand with it. So, you know, especially at home to Accrington, it'll be disappointing, as I'm sure after recent seasons, kind of their fans must have grown to love the cup and kind of the runs that they've put together.
Yep, not to be this year, though, for Bradford, concentrating on the league and all that. But for Sheffield United, absolutely flying in the league. They're flying high and an unbelievable unbeaten run. They carried it into the cup, 6-0 thrashing of Leyton Orient. What about that?
It's not bad, is it? Especially for a Sheffield United fan. It's kind of been a while since a team's been convincingly beat like that, as in the scoreline suggested at Bramall Lane. I think they're fourth in the league, four wins out of the last five. Of course, 6-0 win, and then they go to Grimsby in the Checkatrade Trophy tomorrow night, although can't look too much into that. Both teams are already out. So,
oh, what? So they're not going to be all conquering this season.
Where does kind of that come in, the rules where you've got to play so many first-team players? Why would either team bother? You're out. You know, you can't go through. But and then looking further ahead, I think Sunday they've got Chesterfield away. Of course, another struggling team. So could be another win for them. But like I said, they're flying high, going well. And I think for Sheffield United, they've got to get out of League One eventually, and they look good value to do it at the moment.
Yeah, what a season it would be for Leicester under 23s if they were to go on and be triumphant in the Checker Trade, and then maybe Leicester, who knows, can go on and win the Champions League.
I think they all know that they're at home to Warsaw. How about this? They have 5 points, but they've only scored one goal.
So that's the old penalty shootout.
Shootout, because they drew 0-0 and won on penalties, and they beat Grimsby 1-0 away.
The cup can
the
be
entertainment,
cruel.
The entertainment value on show there is just outstanding.
Thanks, Sean. I like the penalty shootout idea. I do for this trophy.
No,
it's
why?
Fine. It's
why?
Fine. Nothing wrong with it.
If you're at Bramall Lane, and you, to be honest,
if you're at Bramall Lane and you've seen a 0-0 draw between Sheffield United, your team, and Leicester under 23s, it's just 0-0. It's been horrible.
You want to go home?
Yeah, might as well have a penalty shootout.
No, you got to go.
You
do. Please just.
You want to take something away from it. You want to take something away from it.
I think you want to
take some drama, something.
After a 0-0 against Leicester under 23s at home, I would. Because I've never left a game early, and I don't think I will, no matter what, after all the years at Leeds. If that was Leeds or a team I was supporting, I just want, as soon as that referee's whistle blew, I wanted to leg it out there and just forget it ever happened. Let a little penalty shootout make me stay for longer.
Okay. I wonder what Chris Wilder thinks. In fact, we don't have him, do we? We've got no.
I think we do, no.
No, we don't. Oh. I thought you promised me him before.
Sorry. I asked him.
Too busy mocking up pictures of Mick McCarthy. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I'm not that creative.
He's not that skilled. He came up with the idea. Shall we check in on that vault? Let's see where we are. So we've got a bit of time with no Chris Wilder now. Let's find out.
Where are we?
Amount of vaults, actually. It's 100. I'm going to refresh. But before the refresh, we were well over 100 vaults on the poll.
138 at the moment.
It's currently in the hands of Mick McCarthy. Not going to give away the percentages right now, just in case. If you're a Steve Evans fan and you want to see him win something,
apart from the League One playoff final,
if you want to see him be popular again, then head to @radio_Yorkshire and make your vote count, because it is the Football League American presidential vault that we're having tonight. Mick McCarthy, Tom's pick against Steve Evans, my man.
Like they say,
come on, Steve.
On any election,
still time. Still
even
time.
If you put off, don't go and vote. Exercise your democratic right and pick between Mick McCarthy and Steve Evans for next president.
Exactly. People have died for this vote tonight. People have died. We'll be looking ahead to the rest of the Football League news next here on the 72, including who's the favourite to be the new man at QPR. We'll be back in a couple of moments' time.
Christmas It's a wonderful time of year, but also a really expensive one. Thankfully, at Cash Converters, you can turn your unwanted stuff into instant cash. Old tech, unworn jewellery, unplayed instruments, all could be turned into cash to pay for this year's festivities. What's more, you can spread the cost of items we sell over several payments. Conditions apply. Cover the costs of Christmas and find your nearest store at cashconverters.co.uk.
Shell, it's me, your best friend, remember? I haven't seen you since you met that guy. The one that's always over and is a really good listener. He's an estate agent, for goodness sake.
From valuation and viewings right through to completion, find out how our local property experts could save you thousands.
Purple Bricks.
An estate agent you can love.
I spotted him at another woman's house. Anyway, call me. Kiss him.
Oh, hello, love. Thanks for phoning.
Again?
But I've heard about your exams, your holiday, your girlfriends, and liked your photos. Me and your dad thought maybe you might like to. Leave us alone for a bit.
Get more chat than even your mum can handle with Talk Mobile's great SIM-only deal. 2,500 minutes, 5,000 texts, 15 gig of data. All for only £15 a month on a 30-day contract. For straightforward value, go to talkmobile.co.uk.
Offer ends 31st of October, UK use. Calls to standard UK mobiles and landlines. Credit check applies. Go to talkmobile.co.uk.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you through until 8 o'clock tonight. Let's talk about some of the wider Football League news right now, Tom. And, well, QPR sacked Jimmy Floyd, Hasselbank. Firstly, right decision for you?
I think on current form, yeah. Of course, QPR, since really dropping out of the Premier League for that second time, they've never looked like a dangerous promotion winning side. So of course, to kind of still be in the position they're in has been a bit disappointing. They've not exactly kind of set the world alight so far this season. Of course, there was the opening day victory over Leeds where they did play very well, looked very convincing, but you know, they've struggled since then, and I can kind of understand why a change has been made at this point.
Yeah, the names in the frame, there seems to be one very strong candidate in, I think we'll all enjoy it if Tim Sherwood becomes a Football League manager.
Yeah, definitely. I think if he got this job yesterday, he could have also become American president. But unfortunately, he's not officially a Football League person yet. But it's difficult to... I do like Tim Sherwood. I do like him, his personality, kind of how he is. I do enjoy him being around kind of a club. And of course, he took Villa to the FA Cup final as well. He can't really forget about that. But I think he's still yet to kind of properly prove himself as a manager. So hopefully for QPR and hopefully for him, this can kind of be the job where he does kind of show that. And I think since the job became available, he's been below evens in the betting, and he still is. So there's obviously something in that, and there's a link there.
Yeah, there is obviously the link with Les Ferdinand being part of the wider structure there at QPR and them being best buddies. But it does seem quite a nice fit, really, for QPR. Do you think what could be their aspirations, though, that they came out of the Premier League, there was a lot to do in terms of moving on, quite a lot of players on big contracts, out of the club and rebuilding. Is that a Tim Sherwood kind of job?
I think a QPR might suit him in terms of, you look at Villa, there was a lot of expectation there. The team was struggling, you know, when they went down. You know, considering where Villa were a few years ago to now, the expectation, the support is still there. Still, of course, a massive club, well known. Whereas QPR, of course, coming out of the Premier League, they want to get back there. But since they've been out of the Premier League, they've not really shown that they are promotion contending side. So maybe the pressures are off him a bit there. And that could work in his favour. I think, you know, he does have something to bring, because we know about him as a coach, how well he is and how good he is as a coach. He just needs to prove himself kind of as a manager. And I do like Tim Sherwood. And if he did take over at QPR, I would hope that it would go well for him and he could kind of show that he actually is a good manager, especially at this level.
Yeah, we shall see on that. One bit of breaking news tonight, which might interest some Football League clubs, maybe one or two Premier League clubs as well, Burnley being one of them. Joey Barton, according to Sky Sports, has agreed to terminate now. His Rangers contract was signed off with stress earlier in the day that came out, and it seems like Joey has gone. Fancy him at Leeds?
Not at the moment. I think in the summer, then yeah, but it's difficult to say because you don't know what's happened at Rangers in terms of course there was that suspension and then he wouldn't be joining the club again or joining the team again and then he would and back and forth. But I'm sure, especially as a free agent, there'll be a few teams interested in him. Of course, Burnley, I reckon, might take him back because popular figure there. Dyche seemed to get the best out of him there. He was probably one of the better players, if not one of the best players in the league last year. So I think on that basis, he's got to interest some championship clubs, especially those looking to go up.
Yeah. Do you know what I think with Joey Barton? That he signed for Rangers. Mm-hmm. Again, it was the second time in 2 years that he'd not had a proper pre-season. He'd not been with the club at times. When he signed for Burnley at the end, well, it was into September when he signed for them, he didn't feature for a good 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks because they kept him out of the team, getting him fit behind the scenes. And then when he came in, he was up to the standards and he hit the ground running. At Rangers, they just chucked him straight in. He didn't have a pre-season. He went straight in there. And from then, he's just not been fitting off. He's not hit the standards he was hitting last year. It leads to a guy like Joey Barton being very frustrated. Obviously, then arguments happen with the teammates and all that. I just think it was bad management from Rangers. Not that he's a saint and you should defend him, but the fact that he wasn't fit enough was the biggest problem. And I think that's a problem with what Rangers have done with a lot of the players they signed in the summer, though, when they brought in some of the defenders and the players that have joined the club. That it's just not. I don't want to annoy Derek Clark, but the standards are just not the same anymore.
Yeah. I think for Rangers as well, someone like Joe Barton coming in was kind of that big name signing that they were looking for. So of course he's going to have to play, and I think that's the issue with.
Burnley, the fans desperately wanted to see him, but Sean Dyche, no. If he's not hitting the right levels behind the scenes, the medical staff, he's not playing. He's not in contention. He was one of the biggest players Burnley have signed for a number of years.
Yeah, but Burnley could afford to not have him in the squad for that 6 weeks. Compared to a Rangers where someone like that comes because the quality in Burnley's squad. We know that because they went up.
But they only had Di Marni and David Jones.
Which at the time was good enough to kind of get them through it. Whereas if you imagine a championship club that would sign him now would sign him because they need him. It's kind of we need someone to come in, maybe, I don't know, a QPR who needs to turn things round, and he's going to be thrown straight into it again, and he's back to the problem that we had at Rangers.
Quite possibly. But that's what happened, Tom. That's what happened. I'm telling you. Let's move on from Joey Barton, because he's not part of this show right now. But that is the breaking news tonight, apparently. He has left Rangers. Let's move on to Paul Lambert. He is now in charge at Wolves. Might be looking at Joey Barton as a player. I'm sure Neil Warnock will be on the phone to Joey Barton actually right now. Getting down to Cardiff.
In the US Football League presidential election, Neil Warnock was quite a few people's suggestions that have tweeted in. So him, Paddy Kenny, Joey Barton, going to make up some weird government of some form.
What would Paddy Kenny do if Warnock was president?
Secretary of something. He'd get a good job. You know, he'd get a good gig out of it.
On a lot of money and not do very much. Sorry, Paddy. I hope you don't see this. I hope we don't clip this video a bit out. I hope he's not following us on Facebook. We're live on Facebook, by the way, if you want to watch the show tonight. But Paul Lambert.
Back to Paul Lambert and yes, not weird presidential elections.
Obviously, last year he was at the bottom end of the championship at Blackburn Rovers. We all know the struggles there. Yeah. Is the situation at Wolves, do you think he'll get the right kind of, not necessarily back in, because Wolves are going to spend money, but the right kind of support that he needs to build a team?
Yeah, he's a good manager. He showed it at Norwich, what he could do there with the promotions there. I think Blackburn, anyone who's going to take the Blackburn job knows what they're going to get into, and unless they're, you know, a miracle worker like a Neil Warnock, then you're kind of not going to get the best out of the players. Whereas Wolves got some quality in that squad, really. They've spent big. They've spent for a reason to bring those players in. There's plenty of potential there. Like I said, there's the money there as well. So when it comes to January, I imagine there'll be some form of back-in to bring in players that he wants as well. And I think someone like that with experience of this league is kind of the opposite of a Walter Zenger, who was a bit of a gamble. And I think Lambert can do the job for him. And if, you know, with the people who are available at the moment who are going to kind of look towards the Wolves job, it's a very good choice in someone who can get the best out of those players.
Indeed. Where do you think Wolves could finish this year?
It's difficult where they are now. There's a long way to go, but they've got a lot of making up to do. But there's no reason why they can't challenge towards the top end of the table in terms of challenging the top six like they did under Jacket that first season. He was there when they finished 7th or 8th, was it? Similar position, they've got the quality there, but I think if you're going to tail off too early, I know there's a long way to go, but you still need to be up there and in contention, otherwise you're just going to be playing catch-up. So I still think, you know, a potential top six challenge is on, but they might just miss out on it this year.
Of the teams that have sacked managers, the bigger teams, so let's go Villa, Derby, QPR, Wolves and Cardiff. Who's finishing highest out of there?
You'd say Villa, I think, just because not just the club size, but the players they've got as well, the kind of appointments that were made. Safe pair of hands in Steve Bruce, someone who's had success in this league with kind of a similar club in Hull City. And I think he'll be able to get the best out of those players and push them up the league. So out of those teams, I'd have to say probably Villa are going to finish the highest.
I'd go Derby. I think Derby are going to fly up the league. I think there's going to be something different. The Mac is back. How about him for an American president? Steve McLaren.
No.
Do you imagine his inaugural speech doing the old American accent?
And an umbrella, because it just stood there completely bewildered.
No one's put Paul Lambert forward to be our American president, but let's hear from him right now. He's got a big enough job on at Wolves. Here he is, Paul Lambert, speaking on his appointment as the new Wolverhampton Wanderers manager.
Paul, welcome to Wolves. First day in the job. Is it a little bit like first day at school? Do you still get nervous?
I think you do. I think any club, new club, that I've, even as a player, you're never sure how people want to take you that way. And yeah, a little bit nervous, but after the day, it'll be fine.
I guess the obvious question is, why Wolves?
Well, when I got the call, it was interesting, because I think the big thing that helps with football clubs is the fans. Fantastic fan base, and I think if you have that, you have got a chance. I think even when I came here with Norwich and Blackburn, it was always a great atmosphere here. And I think we as a team have got to get the fans going as well. We've got to give them something back, and I think if you do that, in the size of the club, it's got a real chance.
What was it first like when you first met Jeff and Kevin, and how did they sell the club to you?
They didn't really need to do too much, really. I mean, they were really nice people, and that's all I want. I want to work with good people, nice people who are fair. And everybody knows the pitfalls in football. You don't get results, you know what's going to happen. You get results, you know exactly what's going to happen. So the football club sold it itself, really, because the size of it, and I said the fan base, definitely. And the history attached to the football club's huge as well. I think it needs a little bit of help to try and climb the table. But Kevin and Jeff were excellent.
Because you're coming into a club who's on a little bit of a low at the moment, 7 games without a win, but still plenty of expectation and ambition, and I guess that must have attracted you.
It does. As I said, I keep saying it, the support, or the size of it. And if you, everybody knows when you come to the stadium, the end behind the goal is a terrific end for the supporters. So, but it's up to us to generate and get the stadium really going. So it doesn't take much for it to lift. It just needs a little bit of help. And if we can do that, then let's see what happens.
And much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
I know what the plough looks like in the night sky. I know how Eskimos kiss. I know a time when a mullet wasn't a fish. And I definitely know this piece of music. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
When was the last time you saw the cost of filling your vehicle come down? Well, it just has at your local Vauxhall retailer. On top of our other great offers, Vauxhall are giving away £500 of free fuel with new vehicles at their sales event between the 11th and 14th of November. Just go to your local Vauxhall retailer or search Vauxhall Sales Event. simple. On selected models across the range at participating retailers from the 11th till the 14th of November. £500 on a prepaid debit card. T's and C's and exclusions apply.
With BMW twin power turbo engines and near perfect 50-50 weight distribution, the BMW 1 Series delivers all the poise, power and precision you expect from a BMW. And now the 5-door BMW 118i M Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,269 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 31st of December and registered by 31st of March 2017. UK only, guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Tom's favourite feature. Tom's only feature.
Yes, the only, I don't know what about favourite. It's the only feature we have.
Yeah, it does well. It's a good feature. Right, so it's good days, bad days. The premise is ultra simple. Who's had a good day from the games of the weekend? Slightly different this week because
it's annoying.
Just
got, yeah.
It's a Championship and FA Cup. So
I had to mix it up a bit.
I'm talking a bit longer, so it's...
fill up some time.
It out a little bit. So you've got... a good day, bad day from the Championship, and two of each from the FA Cup, which is fair.
We do Championship, League One, League Two, so just threw two in each from the FA Cup. Yep, so there we are.
You make up your own rules, that's fine.
It's my feature, my rules.
Get on with it then.
Right, here we go. So, Championship. Guess where I'm going? I've mentioned them already. Leeds United are going to be a good day. Yes, Leeds, because, frankly, if you can go away to a promotion favourite and win, especially scoring an absolute belter to get the 3 points to put yourself into the top six for the first time in near 3 years, I'd say that's a pretty good day. So Leeds United are the good day there. Bad day for Owen Coyle and Blackburn Rovers, because it's Owen Coyle and they lost again down into the FA Cup. Start off with both good days. Mentioned them already again. Accrington Stanley beating Bradford City away to progress through. Of course, not an easy place for any team to go and get something, but Accrington managed to beat a Bradford side who have enjoyed cup runs in the last few years, so they're through to the second round. Good day also for Carlisle United. Put them in because they beat St Albans 5-3 away to go through. I know they're a lower league opposition, but you score 8 goals and you still win. It's good. And then bad days for Leyton Orient, losing 6-0 at Bramall Lane against Sheffield United. And a bad day for Walsall, also lost 1-0 at home to Macclesfield. So an upset there. So that's good days, bad days for this week.
I should turn the microphone.
Right,
that
might
be a help.
That might help.
There we go. Thank you very much, Tom. That is good days, bad days for this week. We shall be back in a few moments' time, where hopefully we'll be checking in at Doncaster to hear from Liam Williams. But also we'll be wrapping up who is the new Football League American president.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
I have cancer. I'm cold. I'm behind with my bills. Can I afford to get to the hospital? Will I lose my job, my home?
Macmillan Cancer Support can help with money worries, so they don't spiral out of control.
I'm warm. I can get help with transport. I will keep my job and my home. I have cancer.
For our free financial information and support, call now or search Macmillan Money Worries. Macmillan Cancer Support. No one should face cancer alone.
Hello, Darren. You here again?
Yeah. Pump 7, please. And these.
Must have been a long drive. You were only in here yesterday.
Yeah. I had to go to the other side of the country.
I'm back again in just one day. Well, it's nice to see you.
You too. Oh, and these are for you.
Cheese and onion, my favourite.
We don't mind why you come to Esso. We're just happy that you do. That's why at Esso you earn Tesco Club Card points when you fill up with us. Participating Esso service stations only. Terms and conditions apply. For details, visit esso.co.uk.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom with you for the next few minutes. After 7 o'clock tonight, if you're tuning in on Radio Yorkshire, you can hear a Fight Night special. We're going to be talking a little bit of boxing with Dave Cowell. He's going to join me ahead of Jimmy McDonald's fifth defence of his bantamweight world title, talking all about the heavyweight scene as well. Of course, Dave now training Dave Caldwell, Tony Bellew, another one of his fighters in the mix to face David Haye as well. And then we're going to be talking UFC 205 as well. We're going to be hearing from Scott Ascombe, the Yorkshire-based UFC fighter, Jim Edwards, who writes for The Independent and Mirror, and Jay Furness as well, who is a local-based MMA journalist who writes for a number of publications. He's also a fighter himself. He's a coach and he's a referee as well.
Does it all.
He'd slap your face.
I was a bit aggressive at the end. Whoa, easy.
Calm down. Getting there for
fighting. You're
getting
in the mood now. Getting in the mood for it.
Riled up. Right, quickly, very quickly. It's Checkered Trade Trophy. Now we touched on it a little bit earlier. It's a final group stage games tonight with some Yorkshire clubs out or on the verge of exiting the competition. Who might be going out? Who are we looking out for tonight?
Well, we spoke about, they played tomorrow. Sheffield United are out already. Then, of course, Bradford are in action tonight, if I can find their fixtures. So it's a struggle for a lot of these Yorkshire clubs because it's kind of been a, well, do they want to take part in it? The thing tonight is as well, of course, we've been talking about attendances. 12 under-23 teams, although we're not meant to call them under-23 teams, but, you know, 12 of those Premier League teams are at home today. So how will the attendances look for Chelsea, Oxford at Stamford Bridge? And then you look elsewhere, you've got kind of Middlesbrough v Shrewsbury, which I've not seen advertised anywhere. A lot of these games with the under-23s teams at home have not really been advertised. Swansea, Plymouth, games like that, they're all played at the first team stadiums. You can't imagine many people are going to turn up to it, because why would you as kind of a home fan?
Indeed. What's the point, pretty much?
What is the point?
A lot of these games tonight. We're pretty much out of time on the show now. We shall catch up with Liam Williams after 7 o'clock tonight. So there's only one thing left to do right now, Tom, and it is to do this. Yes, we can find out who it is, who is the new Football League American president. We set a poll at the start of the show.
We did.
I went for Steve Evans.
Steve Evans. Evans Rayner would be it. As you know, they have the vice president campaigns alongside them as well. Do you want to know the winner?
I want to know who you had first.
I had Mick McCarthy. McCarthy Connor 16. That's the Twitter hashtag I went for. Seems to have worked wonders. If you can, I believe you can see the poll as well, Sam. Do you want to deliver the?
No, I don't know.
The result. I think you should deliver.
Cancelled my election night party. Steve Evans. We've conceded defeat. The Evans camp. It's all over for us.
It's a landslide.
Straight talking Mick McCarthy with 62% of the vote. It's a landslide in favour of the straight talking Yorkshireman. Tom, congratulations. You have won. You've won the show.
I've won. Tuesday, 6 till 7.
Be proud of yourself. Woo-hoo. You have won something. First time ever?
Yeah. I'm gonna remember this moment rest of my life.
Excellent. Need to go, because the news is next. Fight Night is coming up. We'll also hear from Liam Williams as well after 7 o'clock. He's at the Donny game tonight in the Checkered Trade Trophy, but we do have the news at 7 next.